Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
Luke chapter 13. We're looking at verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Now, who is he? Jesus. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite." Now, when the Lord answers you, when you pray and his first word to you is, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. This morning I want to preach a message that I've titled, "Give Me Liberty." Would you say that? Give me liberty. Give me liberty. Would you just hold the Bible up, your tablet or your phone, the Word of God? Or maybe just hold your right hand up, signifying your belief in this Word today. All right, I want us to just repeat this after me. This is the Word of God. It teaches me that God is for me. Jesus is with me. His Holy Spirit is in me. And his angels are all around me. This is good news. Amen, amen, amen. I mentioned earlier about that Hall of Presidents and just was really just kind of taken back in memories of history in school and things that you learn throughout your life and from childhood. But I was just thinking about liberty. I wanted to quote a couple of our presidents. John F. Kennedy said, "Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty." Thomas Jefferson, our third president, "I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending to too much liberty than those attending too small a degree of it." Thomas Jefferson also said, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time." Patrick Henry, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, says, was quoted as saying, "Give me liberty or give me death." In his view and the view of many people, and especially the founders of our country, was that liberty was more important than anything to them. In fact, they said life was not worth living, Patrick Henry was saying, if there is not liberty to live the life. I'm struck by the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, where Jesus, quoting from the prophet Isaiah concerning a prophecy that was concerning Jesus himself, and he was being the fulfillment of prophecy when he said it in Luke chapter 4. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said, "for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And there was a couple of things he said following that. He said, "To set at liberty the captive." To proclaim liberty to the captive. And this he said, "To set at liberty those who are oppressed of the devil." Now, if you are here today and you don't believe in a real devil, you just call Jesus a liar. There is a real devil. Evil is not just some name for evil that's kind of intangible in a way. There is a real enemy. Jesus also said, "Satan comes but to steal, kill, and destroy." But Jesus, notice it's saying the same authority in terms of saying, but Jesus, he came to give us life and came to give us life more abundantly. There's authority in the Word, and we need to understand that it's not just some abstract enemy, but there's a real enemy. But he came to proclaim liberty to the captive, to set at liberty those who were oppressed of the devil. And so we hear the word of the Lord today. To him who the Son sets free, that person will be free indeed. We're reminded by the Apostle Paul to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. He warns the church that has been set at liberty. He warns them to not be entangled again in a yoke of bondage. So just like Paul gave a warning to the church of Galatia, the church, these were people who were the blood-bought saints of God, people who had received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in the city of Galatia. He was telling them, he warned them, don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage after I've already set you free, after you've already been set at liberty. And so we understand this is the word. This word that to give me liberty today is a word from the Lord. And I'm more concerned again today about hearing a word for the Lord than I am about preaching a good sermon. I'm over that, I believe now. I'm being real with you. When you go through the process of preaching and development and growing, and sometimes you can become too caught up in the mechanics of it all, in how to put together the sermon and those things. And I want to just tell you, those things are important, because if somebody don't put one together for a little while, you'll realize how important you say they should have. They should have. You would say, please read a sermon out of a book and just tell me what it says. Because you can be a mess if there's no preparation, those kind of things. I'm not talking about not preparing. What I'm talking about is we need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And that does come through preparation. That does come through much study. That does come, but it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, I don't come to you with enticing words merely. We could put it that way. I don't come to you merely with enticing words of man's wisdom. Because he said, these words that I'm telling you are wise. These words that I am saying, they are enticing. But I'm not merely coming to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. But I come to you in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need today. That's what you need. That's what I need. I need the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and its effectiveness in our life, a manifestation of what He can do in my life, because I'm in this flesh, can't do but so much. And I'm limited. I'm limited in what we can do for you today. We're limited in what can be accomplished in this room. Your sickness that you may have with, if we're just leaning upon our enticing words and just some wise words, the ship is sunk. But there is hope today on one who can accomplish the impossible. That we have hope in today, one whom can do everything and anything, and nothing is too hard for our God. Would you say amen to that today? Nothing is too hard for God. I want you to note a few things out of our text this morning in the time we have left today. As we look here in Luke 13, verse 10. We have three people here in this text. We have a woman who is bent over. We have a woman who is bent over. Now, what we note about her, this woman, she has a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. This spirit of infirmity that she had, you got to realize, one of the beauties here is that Luke, the writer of this gospel, who's recording this, is a physician himself. And so I want you to think about that just for a moment. He's a physician. And he is saying this woman has a spirit of infirmity. And she is bent over. There's a Greek word here that really refers to this bent over is in a condition of excruciating pain. She's bent over. Maybe it's something like curvature of the spine. We don't know. But she's bent over. What Jesus identifies here is that who's behind this sickness? Who's behind this being bent over? And he identifies that it's a spirit of infirmity, which he really places at the feet of the devil, is what he's doing. He's calling the devil out on this. That this woman is bent over in excruciating pain. She's hurting. It literally uses these words here that she could not straighten up. She could in no way, verse 11, the end of it, she in no way could raise herself up. She could not. And I want just to point out today that you and I just can't just straighten ourselves up. And there's some, you may have a brother, you may have a son or daughter, You may have a close friend. Maybe there's someone else in your family that you've been saying, why don't they just straighten up? But the truth of the matter is, unless Jesus touches them, they can't straighten up. Some of them have tried again and again to straighten up, but have found themselves unsuccessful. They've made every attempt. And maybe sometimes frustratingly we feel like they haven't. But I want to tell you, there's some things that require the hand of Jesus. And there was an oppression over this woman's life physically where she could not straighten up. It was a preacher, had been a preacher about 20 years, and he left the ministry, went into funeral home directing. People ask him, well, why did you do that? He said, well, I preached for years, about 10 years. John just couldn't straighten out John. There was another family he mentioned. If this is your family, I'm saying this is what I read. The Smiths. He said, I couldn't straighten them out. And there's another woman named Sally. I just never was able to straighten her out. But he said, since I've entered the funeral home business, he said, when I straighten them out, they stay straight. That's about how it works. You and I can't straighten people out. Will you tell the person next to you, say, you can't straighten me out or anybody else out. Just saying. The power we see here is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love it. Verse 12. He called to him... When he saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Did you notice he said it before it happened? He said it before he ever touched her. Before he ever laid hands on her, he already declared it. Do you know that's what the Lord's wanting us to do as well? He's wanting us to get our faith in line first. He's wanting us to get our words in line with what is real, what is true, what is the reality in terms of the power of God. What is the reality in terms of how God operates and who His character is. And I want us to furthermore just see here, because in the initial words, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. These are not the words of Jesus here. These are the words of Luke, who recognizes what's going on. And what we also, and I note here, because again, he's talking about the spirit of infirmity, we've got to take authority over the enemy from the outset. We've been given authority over the enemy. Who has? The preacher has? No. You have been given authority over the enemy. Not just some preacher somewhere or some prophet or teacher somewhere. No, we're talking about all the saints of God, every blood-bought saint of God, everyone who names the name of Christ, that you have been born again. You have been given authority over the enemy. And so we've got to call the enemy out from the outset. And then we've got to declare over the situation the word of the Lord. Then we anticipate the healing to come here. And that's what happened. Woman, you are loosed from our infirmity. And I want you to know, so we have a woman bent over, and we see this woman who is straightened out. by the hand of God. Praise the Lord for that. And so I want you to think about your loved one today. Think about that person. Would you just close your eyes for just a moment? And would you think about their spiritual condition? And I want you to see them spiritually just maybe bent over and they cannot straighten out. I want you to just see them in that condition today. I don't know if it's a bondage, a physical bondage, a spiritual bondage, a financial bondage that you see, maybe a relational bondage, a social bondage that they are experiencing, that they are held captive in. But I want you to declare over them in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're going to believe in the name of Jesus for my, maybe it's you that you're going through right now. Maybe it's someone else that you're close to. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a friend. But I want you to right now, in your own mind's eye, to see them, but I want you to also see them in the name of Jesus straightening up in their, out of their bondage, out of their being bent over, and coming out of that excruciating thing that has kept them captive, and seeing them released and set free, and then believing and trusting for this thing to come to pass and anticipating it in the name of Jesus. And when you have the opportunity to even pray for them in person, that you'll see this thing come to pass. But go ahead and begin to see it in your mind's eye. Get a vision for it in the name of Jesus. Would you just say, thank you, Jesus. I don't know who you had in your heart and your mind today, but it's got to start there. He's got to give us a vision of what He wants to do in our lives. But I want you to see the next part of this story. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. Larry, you got a need. Wait till tomorrow, brother. That's what they were saying. You can come Monday through Saturday. Not right now. And Jesus said, you hypocrite. You'll lead your animals to get water on a Sunday. And you'll leave this woman. And I have, listen, we're going down here. Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. Meaning this woman, I bet, was at the synagogue every time the doors were open. For 18 years. 18 years. And nobody did anything on the Sabbath day. Listen. This woman was bent over. This synagogue ruler was bent out of shape. He was bent out of shape. He was with indignation. He was ticked off that this woman got healed. Why was it? He was bent out of shape. He had the mission of the church. He forgot about it. He forgot what he was even there for. He forgot what it was all about. And I want to tell you that traditions of men and religiosity, and when it takes over a life, it will become more highly treasured than the miracles of God. Tradition then is elevated above the Word of God. Tradition becomes elevated above a true worship of God. It becomes elevated above true service of God. And in the process, really, that individual is bent out of shape. And Jesus calls him out about it and over it to the point that it says he shames him. And the whole crowd that stood there in agreement with that Jewish synagogue leader, they were shamed, it said. They couldn't even say a word. They were so shamed by the words of Jesus. But all the multitudes, now those were the leaders in charge that were put to shame, but the multitudes rejoiced. They rejoiced. Verse 10. It says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. What I want you to see here is when this happens, the word comes first. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. If we go to Hebrews chapter 2, it says, verse 1 of Hebrews 2, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Notice that, the things we have heard. He's talking about the Word of God. For if the Word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Notice there, when the Word came first, then God bearing witness both with signs and wonders. Notice that, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. So what I want us to see is the Word comes first. But signs and wonders follow the Word of God. Follow the Word of God. Now, I want just to wrap this up this morning. And I would like for us to have an opportunity to pray today. And I don't know what you may have come here with this morning. But we want to believe in the Word of the Lord today for somebody to be miraculously touched by the hand of God. Would you believe for that today? Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.